tonight, as we come to the study of God's Word, I want to draw our attention to what I'll term the full provisions of the Lord, that which He has made for us in order that we might live a life that is well-pleasing in His sight. As believers, we know the blessing of our sins forgiven. We know the joy that awaits us of a home in heaven. I think most of us tonight would remember well the day that we turned from our sin and came to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we trusted in Him as our Savior. What a wonderful day it was that we recognized and knew that we had been given a new life in Christ, a life that is now abundant and free. Sadly, however, there are many who know the blessing of a new life, but have never come to grips with this truth, that the new life that God gave to you and to me was not intended to be lived in our old power. The reality is, God does not intend for you to live in the power of your flesh. God desires that we live in the power that He would give to us. In fact, Paul, I think, states it well in a passage we considered not too long ago, a passage we know very well, Galatians 2 and verse 20, in which Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." The life that you and I now live in Jesus Christ is not our old life. It is Christ's life living through us. And success in the Christian life is found as we faithfully allow His life to be lived through us. So tonight I want to consider some thoughts together that will help us to understand how we can live in the full provisions that God has given to us, that we might live a life well-pleasing in His sight. Let's bow together, though, in a word of prayer, and then we'll consider them together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight that we're able to come and consider Your Word tonight, consider some truth tonight to help us as we seek to live a life well-pleasing in Your sight. Lord, we thank You that the life that You give is a new life, not to be lived by our old ways, not to live in our might or our wisdom, by our ingenuity, but is to be lived in the power of Thy Spirit. And Father, we ask and pray that You would help us tonight as we consider some things to help us live in light of the provisions, the full provisions that You have given unto us. So, Father, we ask and pray Your blessing now upon our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want you to see with me three things that will help us recognize how we can live in the full provisions of God's way for us to live and pleasing to Him. First of all, I want you to notice with me that there's a fatal mistake in the Christian life, a fatal mistake in the Christian life. Robert Ketchum, a fundamental preacher and faithful defender of the Word of God, made this observation about Christian living. He said, "The fatal mistake made by the vast host of Christians is thinking they can live a successful Christian life by human effort, willpower, and determination." I want you to look at Zechariah chapter 4 tonight, and I want you to look with me, if you would, just at verse 6 for a moment. God, through the prophet Zechariah, reminds us of this truth. He says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." How are you and I to live this new life in Christ? It is to be lived not by our might, not by our power, but it is to be lived by the Spirit of God. This coming Sunday morning, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to begin looking really at verse 16 and following, which tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit, and by walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the works of the flesh. Too many believers think that they're going to be able to live out the Christian life and be successful as a Christian by the work of their own strength, by their might, by their power, by their wisdom. But God reminds us that we do not become successful in the Christian life. We don't live a life well pleasing unto the Father by living in our flesh or by living by our strength. God reminded His people that the work of the Lord is accomplished by Him. And we make a fatal mistake when we believe that through our might, by our power, by our wisdom, by our skill, by our ingenuity, that we're going to accomplish anything that will be pleasing to the Lord. Now, we may do some things well, but the reality is we are to walk and live by the Spirit of God. We cannot maintain the Christian life. We cannot maintain the purity of life that God would have us to maintain in our own flesh. You and I must learn to walk by the power of the Spirit. I want to remind you the words that God shared with Jeremiah. If you like, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 9 this evening. Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9, we find in verse 23 and 24 these words. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." You and I are to walk not by our might, not by our wisdom, but by the Spirit of God. We are to live in the power of His strength. I want to remind you tonight that that Christian life that you have was produced by the gracious hand of God. It is also sustained and maintained by His gracious hand. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, Paul is reminded of that truth, that God's grace is sufficient for him. It was God's grace that was going to sustain him through life, through the trials and the difficulties of his life. And Paul said, "I would rather live with the trials and the troubles and the grace of God sustaining me, I would rather live in my physical weakness than to live by the power of my own might. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather suffer the infirmities, that the power of God might rest upon me." We make a fatal mistake when we begin to think that we're going to live the Christian life, that we're going to do it in our strength, that we're going to live the life that is well-pleasing to God by our wisdom, by our ingenuity. Because I get up every morning at the same time every day and I open my Bible and I read my chapters and I have my prayer list that I go through, and that's what's going to make me spiritual. My work, my effort, my power. That's a fatal mistake in your life and mine. It is not by your power, it is not by your might, it is not by your wisdom, but by His Spirit we are successful in the Christian life. And folks, too many believers are thinking that somehow it's up to me to be successful in the Christian life. And it's a fatal mistake. Why is it that we can't maintain the life that God has given to us in our own power? Why is it that there is no success at being faithful apart from a life completely yielded to Christ? Well, I want you to see not only with me the fatal mistake, I want you to see the forgotten truth of the Christian life. There's a forgotten truth, and that is this. There is in our flesh no good thing. There is in your flesh no good thing. In your natural state, there is no good. The good that you have is that new life given to us by Jesus Christ. There is nothing good in our own selves. I want you to remember a few things. Before man fell into sin, the Bible would describe him as innocent.
In that state of innocence, man enjoyed three things. He enjoyed unbroken communion with God. In the cool of the day, God would come and walk with Adam and Eve, and there he would talk with them. There was an unbroken fellowship with God. There was a perfect knowledge of God. And there was spiritual life. What happened when man fell? What happened when man chose to disobey the commands of God? The Bible said sin entered into the world, and now man has lost what he enjoyed. Instead of having that unbroken communion with God, man is now, is he not, according to the word of God, alienated from God. Man doesn't have just fellowship with God. In our natural self, we are alienated from God. Let's look at a couple passages. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness and work all uncleanness with greediness. One without Jesus Christ is one alienated from God because of sin. In Colossians chapter 1, look with me at verse 21. It says, Paul speaking to those who are now saved, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Before Christ, we were alienated from God. We were not only alienated from God, but we were ignorant of God. Go to Romans chapter 1 tonight. Romans chapter 1. Look with me at verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, down through verse 23, we read these words. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. In our natural self, we do not truly understand who God is. We are ignorant of God, and we are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." There is nothing in your natural state that is good. There is nothing in your natural state that is going to allow you to walk in a way that is pleasing to Almighty God. Yet so many of us think, well, now that I'm saved, I am now responsible to do this in my power, in my strength, in my wisdom. But we must learn to completely yield our lives to Christ, because in our natural state, there is no good thing. You and I need to take the admonition that Paul gave in Romans chapter 6. I want you to look at a few verses with me. We've alluded to these, I think, even this last Sunday. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 11. We are told, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Look at verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." There is a need for us to get rid of a dependence upon our flesh and become dependent again upon the Spirit of Almighty God. I want to close tonight by looking at the full provisions that are made for us. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 tonight. I want to remind you of a truth that I think most of us know. We often relate it in such by the means of salvation, and it's true. But in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." When we consider the full provisions that God has given to us to live the Christian life, we come to realize that Jesus Christ, folks, really is the key to all of that. We have to, first of all, come to grips with the truth that there is nothing in ourselves that is capable of living a faithful Christian life, that we are able only to access the wonderful provisions of the Christian life as supplied to us by Jesus Christ. God in His matchless grace has sought to restore us from our fallen state. There is nothing good within you, but God is willing to give to us a new life. He is willing to help us now live a life that is well-pleasing unto Him, that we might know again the joy that He intended for us to have. This provision, again, is made for us by Jesus Christ. And we find three things to help us in that way. We find that, first of all, in Jesus Christ there is a way. Jesus Christ is the way that leads man back into the right relationship with God. And He solves the problem of our alienation. We were alienated from God in our flesh, but Christ provides the way. How do you enjoy the proper fellowship with the Father? It is through Jesus Christ. He is the way for you to enjoy all the wonderful blessings of eternal life. He is the one not only to understand the blessings of eternal life, but to enjoy the blessings of the Christian life that you now have. What are we told to do, folks, in Hebrews 12? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He has to be the center of everything that we do. Why? Because He is the way, not only to eternal life, but to a successful Christian life. To His own apostles, He said, "Listen, Thomas, if you want to know the way, it's through me." How do we get really close to the Father? Through Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 tells me that He is the image of God. Hebrews says that He is the express image of God. He tells me, He shows me who God is. I know God in a wonderful way because I know Jesus Christ. And folks, there's one day that our faith will be removed and it will see Him for who He really is. And we will actually look upon Jesus Christ, and we will then be like Him, glorified. Jesus is the way. But notice, He is the truth. He's the one that cures the ignorance of man. It is by coming to Jesus Christ, by looking unto Him, by following Him, by following His Word. It's not in your power. It's not in your wisdom. It's in the wisdom of God that we work. James chapter 1 tells us what? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And what does He do? He gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid us for it. He gives us understanding. He provides for us truth. He is also the life. He's the solution that restores the life. Christ is the resurrection. By the way, how did you and I now, as the Christian, how do we have victory? 1 Corinthians 15 is the chapter fully dedicated to the study of the theme of the resurrection. And the Bible says at end in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, ready? Here's the sound of a successful Christian life. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in Him." Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the complete solution and remedy for man's ruination. The question arises then, why did God provide for us a way to be saved? Why would God care to provide for you a way out of the ruination of your life? I want you to look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. I want to remind you of this truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me at verse 19 and 20. Paul writes and says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Why does He provide a way of eternal life for you and for me? I think the answer is that He might, through us, display the wonderful work of His grace and His mighty power. Again, I want to give you a quote from Robert Ketchum. He says, "Our bodies are not simply the encasements of a saved soul. They are the dwelling place of the Lord. They are His to use as He will to display His manifold grace." Did you catch that? Your body isn't just an encasement for your saved soul. God has a purpose for you, and that is through your body, and by the way, your spirit, to glorify God. Now, when are you supposed to do that? At all times. At all times. Not when you feel like it, not when everything is going well. Your body, every day, your spirit, every day, is the place that God dwells. Doesn't that make Hebrews 13:5 mean a little something more? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He dwells with you every day. And we are now to live in such of a way that God could, through us, display His manifold grace. With all that said, I want to give you one final thought. What God commands you to do, He always enables. God says, "Glorify me through your life, in body and spirit." What He commands, He enables. I hope you believe that. In John chapter 5, we find the story of a lame man, a paralytic man. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, "Rise up and walk." You know what the amazing thing was? He had been paralyzed for 38 years. But you know what he did? He got up and he walked. You want to know why? Because what Jesus says to do, He empowers you to do. He has the ability to make the blind see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. What He commands you to do, He enables you to do. Why? Because you can't in and of yourself. It's not by might, and it's not by your power. But by His Spirit, you can be empowered to do all that God gives us to do. How was that layman able to take that command and follow it? By faith. The just shall live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? Yes, it is. God has given you all that you need for life and godliness. Full provision to be pleasing in His sight. That's not in your flesh. That's not in your wisdom. That is not in your might. That is not in your power. But by His Spirit, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The sad reality, folks, is too many of us are trying to accomplish things for God without God being there. And we fail miserably and fall flat on our face before Him and others. We get discouraged. We want to quit. We want to give up. It doesn't seem worth it. Because we're doing it all the wrong way. It's not by your spirit. Excuse me, it's not by your power. And it's not by your might. And it's not by your wisdom. It is through Jesus Christ that we succeed in the Christian life. He has provided us with all things. The hard reality is for us to remember that He has given us all that we need. That's why we say, spend time in His Word. That's why we say, go to God in prayer. Why? Because it's only through Him that we can live. It's not, if we just do all these things in our own power, our own strength, everything's going to work out okay. It's not what it means. It's not by our power, not by our might. It's by the Lord that we live. By the way, that's true in your life, in your family, and that's true within the Church of Jesus Christ. God is the one who directs. God is the one who empowers. Listen, you may have a beautiful voice and you might be able to sing. God bless your soul. I don't have it. Thankful for pianos who can change the key so that I don't sound so terrible, because he's the only one who can hear me anyway. But it really doesn't mean a whole lot to have a beautiful voice and sing and it not be done to the Lord, because in all fairness, if you don't sing by the power of the Lord, it really isn't a blessing. You may have the gift to speech, but if it's not dedicated to the Lord, it really doesn't matter. No one will be blessed. We can have beautiful services that run absolutely smoothly, but if the Spirit of God isn't present, nothing is going to take place. That's true in your life and mine. Folks, when we come to church looking for something that we can get so we can go off and do the Christian life in our own power and our own strength, guess what you're going to get when you come to church? Nothing. But when you come seeking Jesus Christ and Him alone, and you come with hands extended unto the Lord and say, Lord, you give me what I need today, and whatever your Spirit gives to me, I'm going to receive, and I'm going to take it by faith, and I'm going to apply it. And if I have to change and I have to confess my sin, I'll do it all, Lord, today. I'm coming to you asking for your blessing. You know what you get? Just that. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's not by our wisdom. It is by the Lord. And folks, we have to accept His full provisions. And by the way, we've only touched on some of them tonight.
there is so much more that you can take and apply to your own heart. God has given us all that we need. Let's take them to ourselves. Father, we thank you for our time tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to study your word. Father, I pray that you would help us, each and every one, to live in the power and the strength of Jesus Christ. It's according to his mercy that we were saved. It's by his grace that we were redeemed. It's by faith that we had to trust, and it's by faith we now must live. It's by his grace that we'll be sustained. So, Father, I pray that we be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.